This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. The narrative in Vermont seems to be that Bernie's going to take the state primary on March 1st. I mean, you certainly don't see Hillary Clinton campaigning around the state. But that's on the Democrats' side. What about the Republicans? Vermont has 16 delegates to give in that race, and it's a little bit complicated how it gets split, but with the field still pretty big and the eventual nominee still very much up in the air, those 16 delegates might make a difference at the Republican National Convention in July. So today on the program, we're going to talk about how the Republican primary in Vermont is shaping up, what we know about how Republicans are thinking, and where party officials stand. And on that note about how Vermont Republicans are thinking, if you are one, now's your chance to share your thoughts. Do you know who you're going to vote for? Are you swayed by Donald Trump, by Ted Cruz? Are you looking at the establishment wing of the party, as it's being called, and debating among Kasich, Rubio, and Bush? We would love to hear from you. Call 1-800-639-2211. That number again is 1-800-639-2211, or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. I'm joined today by the chair of the Middlebury College Political Science Department, Bert Johnson. Bert, welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Jane.
And we're also joined by Vermont GOP Chair David Sunderland. Dave, nice to talk with you again, too.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
So, Professor Johnson, I said 16 delegates. Does it usually make a difference, those delegates in Vermont?
Does it make a difference in the national delegate allocation? Probably not, although this is a unique race. I've decided that I should preface anything I say about this particular race with a series of disclaimers. So that might be one of them for this one. You never know. It could be very close.
Well, and so this time you think that it may make a difference, even though normally 16 delegates coming from Vermont early on in the primary season don't?
I think it benefits candidates to proceed as if it might make a difference, as if any delegate might make a difference.
So the Republicans, the major Republicans at least, still in the race, we should just recap for people as of noon today at least, are Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, John Kasich, Marco Rubio, Ben Carson, and Jeb Bush. So six major candidates. Dave Sunderland, do you have any sense of who Vermont Republicans are likely to back?
You know, I think talking with Vermonters and Vermont Republicans, there's still a wide degree of interest in several different candidates. And, you know, I think on town meeting day, we could see multiple candidates getting significant support from Vermont Republicans.
So you haven't done any internal polling or data gathering among Vermont Republicans?
Not in terms of the presidential race, no. We focus much more on state races and more on the local issues here in Vermont. But no, we have not done any presidential polling here locally. But in talking with Vermonters and understanding their concerns and their needs, I mean, they're looking for a candidate that can help address the affordability crisis in Vermont. They're looking for someone who can help our state locally be more affordable and more friendly to working class families. And so I think that issue in particular will help shape their opinions and will be something against which they measure the candidates themselves.
All right. Well, Vermont Republicans, does that ring true for you? And if so, who's the presidential candidate that you think will speak for you in Washington? Our number again, 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. You can also, as always, post your comments on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Bert Johnson, what about you? Do you have any sense, just based on either historical knowledge or anecdotal information, of where you think Vermont Republicans are likely to go?
Well, and you said it, Jane, historical knowledge and anecdotal information is pretty much all we have going for us right now. We don't have polling, so we're sort of flying blind. But having said that, I think Vermont has a reputation as being pragmatic and moderate, even among Republicans. And so that would seem quite suitable for somebody like Kasich, and I presume that's why he's visiting the state this weekend. But you never know. I think it's the state has been unpredictable in its past voting behavior, so I wouldn't put it in the bag for Kasich quite yet.
So, Dave Sunderland, is the Vermont GOP going to endorse any particular candidate?
No, I mean, I think we trust in the Vermont Republican voters, and we have a primary process that will sort out, at least on Vermont's end, the the Republican candidates for president, and whoever the Vermont Republicans decide to nominate on town meeting day, that's the candidate that we'll support.
Does that go for any of the six candidates still in the field?
It does. I mean, we are, we are here to support the Republican nominee, and that's what we as a party will do.
You can guess that where I'm going here is Donald Trump. And you were pretty clear in a press release after Donald Trump announced that he was going to be visiting Vermont that the Vermont GOP had nothing to do with that. You were hoping that the debate would remain civil, that he would remain civil. So if he is the eventual nominee, that's still somebody you can get behind.
We will support the Republican nominee. Yeah, I think during Mr. Trump's visit, we just wanted to be clear for many people. There's certainly a polarization around Mr. Trump, and we just wanted to be clear that, he was coming on his own volition, and we welcomed his thoughts and opinions and welcomed his appearance here in Vermont to talk directly with Vermont voters. So, yes, if he prevails and is the Republican nominee, we would certainly support him.
Let's go to Robert, who's calling in from Rutland. Hi, Robert. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi. How are you doing?
Great. What are your thoughts?
Well, I really think Donald Trump is just a great nominee. He's not from the establishment, and really think he voices a lot of the opinions and thoughts that us Vermonters who follow the campaign a little more closely. And I also think that a lot of the people who don't follow it and the people who Donald Trump are trying to get, the people who don't vote all the time, the new voters, a lot of them in Vermont just don't have a good understanding about Donald Trump. They only hear about the stuff in the media. So I think a lot more people should get more involved.
Robert, can I ask you, this is personal, so you can say no, but who you have voted for in the past, is Trump a departure for you, or does he seem to fall in line with your values and how you voted in the past?
Well, to be completely honest, it doesn't. I voted Democratic last election, and I was in college, and, it was just different stuff going on in that world back then. So now I think Donald Trump is just right on point with everything that we're trying to get accomplished in this country.
Well, Robert, I appreciate your call. Thanks for sharing your thoughts. And listeners, if you're voting in the primary, if you're going to take that Republican ballot on Super Tuesday, I'd love to hear your thoughts, who you think you're going to vote for. If you don't know yet, what do you think will make your decision for you in the next little bit less than 2 weeks now? 1-800-639-2211 is our number. Again, that's 1-800-639-2211. Or you can post your thoughts on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. And let's get another call in here from Jonathan in Winooski. Hi, Jonathan.
Hello.
Share where you're going.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be pretty blunt and honest. I've been in my entire life, my entire family, all been Republicans, all of us. I have much of my family in the military, so they're going to freak out when I say it, but I'm voting for Bernie.
Huh. Wow,
Jonathan.
I was
thinking of Trump, but Bernie's going to get my vote.
So it was between Trump and Sanders for you?
It was. Now it's just Trump. Or now it's just Sanders.
So why? Why did
only going for Sanders.
And why Bernie? Why did Bernie Sanders get your vote in this case?
Well, more than anything else is because he's local. And he's saying the stuff that needs to be said. Well, Donald Trump's got, the brass balls, so to speak. But I would say Bernie could be somebody I could rely on. At least be able to put my fear aside.
Jonathan, I appreciate your perspective. Are you going to tell your family? I mean, you just said they're going to freak out when they hear you on the show if they've heard you. But are you going to have discussions with your family?
Send Facebook posts to them. Look, vote for Bernie. This is why. And most of my uncles are like, Bernie this and Bernie that. They just don't know what they're talking about.
Well, Jonathan, we hear your point. We take Jonathan's point about who he's going to be voting for. And, Bert Johnson, I'd love to get your perspective on this because we've just had two calls, Robert and Jonathan, who are both sort of switching their allegiances in this primary. Do you think that's representative of I mean, certainly not a majority of voters, but of a segment of voters who are really sort of going between and among these candidates?
I think yes, and I think that's one of the most interesting things about this race to me. One of the few polls that we do have is a Castleton poll from last September that asked Republicans who they would support, and Republicans at that point, among Republicans, again, essentially tied between Sanders and Trump. So that's very interesting. And then on the other side, the most recent poll that we have on the Democratic side came out just this morning from Public Policy Polling, and they're showing Bernie Sanders with 86% support in Vermont. So if somebody decides that, well, Bernie's got it won, maybe they could vote in the other race if they think they can make more of a difference. So that back and forth will be really interesting to watch.
Dave Sunderland, what about for you? Are you feeling like your constituents are hard to get a hold of in this election cycle and season?
Well, I think with the diversity of candidates that we have on the Republican side, I think that's a strength. I think, the variety of thoughts and opinions that we have in the Republican Party, that there's a candidate for everybody with so many candidates in the race. So I think as the primary moves forward and as results start to come in from other states, that we'll see a winnowing down of both candidates and a consolidation of support around a smaller number. I think that the diversity that we're seeing is a positive thing. I think it's a good thing to be able to offer a variety of candidates to Vermont Republican voters. And, I think that's a strength, and I think that we'll see them, the voters coalesce as the primary moves along.
Let's go to Matt, who's on the line with us from Barrie. Hi, Matt. Go right ahead.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Great.
All right, so I am not registered to vote in the primary. I probably won't register to vote in the primary. And my views are typically...
Well, wait, Matt, before you go forward with that, let me just ask you about that. Are you a registered Vermont voter?
Yes, I am.
So then you can vote in the primary. You take a ballot on primary day, and you decide when you get to the polls. Do you want to take the Republican ballot or the Democrats?
Oh, see, I didn't actually know that.
Well, there's your public service for the day.
I only voted last year, so.
But, Matt, anyway, to your point that you were trying to make.
So when I do vote, I generally am not decided, Republican or Democrat. I try and vote for whichever candidate, is best going to serve the public in my eyes or by my opinion. But I'm kind of worried, from the I think two callers ago supporting Trump. I mean, he's kind of a loose cannon. Like, I just fear that he's kind of, I understand he's turning it more away from political. He wants to, get people away from politicians more towards, I guess running the country like a business, but I just don't really see that as the best option for the country, I guess. He wants to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. I don't really understand how he's going to do that. But I'm interested to see if he can, go in a debate and not just attack other candidates, not just, call them liars, insult their brothers and mothers, and
so Matt, if you don't like Trump,
see how it goes.
If you don't like Trump and now you realize you can vote in the primary, would you take a Republican ballot and vote for somebody else in an effort to try to make sure that Trump doesn't get delegates in Vermont?
Well, I'm going to have to do a little more research on the other candidates. I mean, I've just kind of been hearing a lot about, I've been focusing more on the Democratic side right now, just about the Hillary and the Bernie. I support a woman president. Unfortunately, I don't think Hillary is the best one right now. Hopefully other women in the future will run. But I need to do a little more research, on the Bush side. And because, of course, I'm kind of thinking about his brothers and his father. So,
well, Matt, get back to us if you don't mind. Send us a note after primary day if you decide to vote. We'd love to hear how you decided in the end. Thanks for your call. Appreciate that. As we look at people like Matt who say, I need to do some more research, I'm still unsure, and maybe now some more people know they can vote in the primary. John Kasich just announced he's going to be coming to campaign in Vermont. He'll be at Colchester High School this Saturday. Donald Trump has already been here. Rand Paul came to the state. Burt Johnson, do you think candidates have made a stronger impression with the voters at all by physically being in the state?
I think it means something to the voters to be able to see these candidates. I spent a lot of time in New Hampshire, and I definitely saw that there, that people really wanted to see the candidates and hear what they had to say one-on-one. And I would say, too, that candidates seem different one-on-one than they do in a debate setting where they may be yelling at each other. And you know, as I think Matt was saying, that it's not a lot of fun sometimes to watch these debates. So that does mean something to voters to be able to encounter the candidates.
Dave Sunderland, have you had anything to do with John Kasich's visit to Vermont? I know that you didn't help set up Donald Trump's visit. What about this one?
No, this was completely arranged by his campaign, and we were not. It's not a Republican Vermont Republican Party event, and it wasn't necessarily a direct invitation that we sent out to him, but his party arranged it, and we were informed of it just earlier this week. We certainly welcome him and welcome his viewpoints and his opinions, and I think the more that Vermont Republican voters can hear directly about. Directly from the candidates about the issues that they're most concerned about and their ideas for resolving the challenges that Vermonters are facing, the better. So we look forward to hearing from him. And, I think Vermonters, Matt and Barry included, are really concerned about the status of our economy and what, on a federal level, these presidential candidates can do to help ease the affordability crisis in Vermont, to create jobs and get our economy going again. So I think it's a good and a healthy thing that they're coming to visit, and we certainly will continue to encourage it.
And will you be there?
I'm hoping to attend, yes. If the schedule works out, I'll certainly be there and bring maybe a daughter along, too.
Dave, New Hampshire GOP officials launched an online petition this week trying to pressure that state's superdelegates to support Bernie Sanders. And as people will remember, Sanders beat out Hillary Clinton by more than 20 points in the primary. But several superdelegates in New Hampshire have pledged to support her at the convention. And so the New Hampshire Republican Party has launched this online petition trying to get those superdelegates to support Bernie Sanders. Does the Vermont GOP want to weigh in on the choices that Vermont Democrats are making at all?
No, I mean, the Democrats have their primary process to go through, and they have their party rules. They're different than Republican Party rules here in Vermont. I think we'll let the presidential primary run its course. Our involvement in the presidential campaigns, even post-primary, will be very limited. I mean, we're as a state party, very focused on statewide races and races for the legislature and hoping to bring some balance and some change back to Vermont here. So I think we'll let the presidential primaries run their courses, and I think each party has to follow their party rules and get through this process according to those rules. And, we'll see how that shakes out in New Hampshire and in Vermont. And in the meanwhile, we'll be continuing to do our work here in the state.
I asked you earlier, Dave Sunderland, if the Vermont GOP would be endorsing any candidate, and you said no, but the party would support whoever the eventual nominee is. Are you personally coming out with your endorsement of any particular candidate?
No, I won't be making any personal endorsements. And again, I think, although we'll certainly support the Republican nominee, what that means practically is not a lot. I mean, we won't be investing a lot of resources or energy into the presidential campaign as a state party here in Vermont. Our focus is going to continue to be on winning the governor's seat, winning statewide offices, and increasing our numbers in the legislature. We're very focused on that right now, working hard to recruit and to reach out to Vermonters. And that will continue to be our focus before the primary and after the primary. So I don't see us playing a heavy role in the presidential campaign, regardless of who the nominee is.
That's David Sunderland. He's chair of the Vermont Republican Party. Dave, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Middlebury political scientist Bert Johnson is going to stay with us. We're talking about the Vermont primary, specifically, though, about the Republican side, 16 delegates at stake and a wide-open Republican field. So, Republicans, tell us more. How are you voting? And any independents out there leaning into the red this election cycle? We heard from one earlier. So who's catching your eye? And what do you want to know about why this could matter, how the delegates work, how it's all divided up? We'll talk about that coming up. Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post a note on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. I'm Jane Lindholm, and this is Vermont Edition. March 1st, that's Super Tuesday, it's the day 13 states and one territory will be making their choices. In some cases, it's just one party caucusing. In Alaska, North Dakota, and Wyoming, they all hold just their Republican caucuses on that date. But this is a big deal in terms of helping to shake out a front runner in both parties. And Vermont's votes on the Republican side might make a difference. We have 16 Republican delegates to split up, and our guest political scientist and Middlebury College professor Bert Johnson is going to help explain how that all works. We're also hoping to hear from more of you who are planning to vote on the Republican side in less than 2 weeks. Call and tell us how you're making up your mind. Who are you planning to vote for and why? Or if you're still undecided, what do you think is actually going to make the difference for you? Our number is 1-800-639-2211. That's 1-800-639-2211. Or post a note on the Vermont Edition Facebook page. Professor Johnson, let's go back to the details of how these delegates are divided up. In Vermont's system for Republicans, as I said, there are 16 delegates, but there's a threshold of support that the candidates need to reach before any delegates are actually awarded to them. Can you explain how that works?
Absolutely. And this is something that may sound like inside baseball, but it's something that campaigns are going to care a lot about, both in Vermont and in other states. So if you get 50% or more of the votes, you get all the delegates in Vermont. Now, I doubt any candidate is going to do that. We have a very fragmented field, and a fragmented field more so than has been the case in decades in this state. So, but if you come in below 50%, you have to have at least 20% to get any delegates at all. So that's actually quite a high threshold in terms of other states compared to Vermont. So Kasich could be coming here because he's hoping to win Vermont, but he could also be coming here to make sure he gets at least 20% so that he gets some kind of delegates out of this state.
Yeah, you say a kind of a high threshold compared to many other states, but also kind of a high threshold based on the way things have been going so far for Republican candidates, because it is such a big field. And if two candidates take up, say, 60% of the vote, as they have in these early contests, those other four candidates may be scrambling to get anywhere close to 20%. So this could really be make a difference then in who actually gets delegates, even among the second or third or fourth candidates.
Absolutely.
And that 50%, you said you don't think that'll happen. That's the ceiling. If somebody can get 50% of the vote in the state, that Republican candidate would get all the available delegates. Should we just write that one off?
I think we should. I think it'd be unlikely that that was the case. Remember, in 2012, Mitt Romney was an established front runner, and he was running against Rick Santorum and Rand Paul. And Rick Santorum and Rand Paul both got above 20% in Vermont, and actually they were above 20% in every single county in Vermont. I checked that this morning, and held Romney to about 40% of the vote. So the Romney campaign was upset with that, and if he can't get much more than 40% of the vote, I doubt that any candidate in the current field could do that.
And there is a chance that nobody will get 20%, that nobody will reach that threshold. And in that case, Vermont just lowers the threshold. Is that correct?
That's right. It lowers the threshold down to 15% and then and so forth. If nobody gets 15%, it lowers it again. I think someone's likely to get 20%.
You do?
I think that's probably going to be the case. And that's been the case in most contests and most polling in most contests so far.
You're just not willing to take the bet on who that might be.
Well, exactly. Yes. As a political scientist, I have to be sort of the same mindset as a doomsday cult leader, which is not to make a prediction that can be disproved at any specific time.
Fair enough. Let's go to Alan, who's calling in from Barrie. Hi, Alan. Alan, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, go right ahead.
Hello?
Hi, we hear you. What are your thoughts?
Okay. Yeah, I feel like if I were to vote Republican, I'd want to vote for somebody who actually, like, tries to deal with issues and doesn't just be super vague and all that stuff. So I feel like Kasich's the best candidate for that because he's the only one that is, you know, not willing to insult people's mothers and talk about, you know, useless whatnot as opposed to, you know, just wanting to actually do something.
But, Alan, you said if you were to vote Republican, Kasich would be the nominee for you. You're not voting in the Republican primary?
I haven't really decided because my favorite candidate is obviously Bernie Sanders. He's just, in my opinion, the best candidate. But on the same end, it's just, I feel like he's already kind of a shoo-in for the state.
So you want your vote to mean something different?
At this point, I'm most voting for who I think would be the best case scenario if I had to run against Hillary.
Alan, I take your point. Thanks for that. I appreciate it. And let's go to Stuart in Norwich. Hi, Stuart. Where do you stand?
I'm sitting right now. But my position, having voted on both sides of the aisle, depending on the circumstances, really is wanting to see a fiscally conservative Republican and also one who is not so conservative on the social side. So I think our economy is still really in tough shape, but the whole right to life thing is not something that I favor. And just a word about some of the candidates. Having voted on both sides, I can't believe that Sanders is as popular as he is, because this country was founded on hard work and on capitalism, actually. And socialism, I believe, would be the ruination of this great country of ours.
Stuart, so you're still thinking, though, then, you know, definitely not a Bernie Sanders supporter, but still thinking about who it is that's actually going to represent your viewpoints the best?
Yeah, I don't think that there are enough rich people that Sanders can penalize to pay for his extravagant programs. And I think that perhaps the governor from Ohio and or Bush would probably be somewhere in the middle on the things that I've just been talking about. And you can make the transfer, actually, when it comes to economics, to the difficulties that Vermont has. And having a son who established a business in New Hampshire for good reason, namely that there's no personal income tax in New Hampshire, there's no death tax, it's a business-friendly state, the United States really has to follow that policy as well. And I think that the governor from Ohio and Bush would do that. The idea that we have a 40%, which is I think it's the third highest corporate income tax in the world, and that Vermont follows the same kind of policies, it drives people away. It drives people to take their money out and to take themselves out of the state of Vermont and out of the United States.
So, Stuart, really looking there for somebody who's going to represent his viewpoints on the fiscal side of things, sort of fiscally conservative, and looking for a candidate who might fit with what he's looking for. But, Bert Johnson, you know, does John Kasich face an uphill battle? We just heard Stuart, who's thinking very carefully, he says, about who might represent him. And, you know, it's easy just to forget names in the spur of the moment, but twice called him that governor from Ohio. So is this a problem for John Kasich, who did very well in New Hampshire but is struggling with some of that name recognition?
It could be. Kasich focused a tremendous amount of energy on New Hampshire and had an opportunity, if any voter really wanted to meet him, they could. And he just hasn't had the time to do that here. So he may be less well known, and that could definitely hurt him.
So if there is a brokered convention in July where there's no clear winner even by then, and essentially all bets are off and the delegates can support whomever they want after that first vote, how are you thinking about that, Professor, in terms of how Vermont's delegates might fit in and how this all might shake out?
Well, I've promised myself not to think about a brokered convention until at least March 8th. Seeing as how you asked, I would say...
I got to get you to go out on one limb today, just
right.
One somewhere.
Well, I think we'd look at candidates that are broadly acceptable and which are the candidates that are broadly acceptable to supporters of the other candidates. And I think you have, for example, somebody like Trump who's got very intense supporters, but then Trump is just unacceptable to a lot of other candidates and their supporters. Somebody like Kasich seems to be acceptable. I and some students took a survey of people attending New Hampshire primary events, and we found that of people who were considering Kasich, people were broadly spread over the rest of the candidates and even the Democratic candidates. So people were considering Bush. People were considering Chris Christie, who has, of course, dropped out. So there were a broad variety of candidates that Kasich supporters were considering, whereas Trump supporters weren't considering that many other candidates. So I think that's the kind of information that we'd look at in terms of finding out how a brokered convention might turn out.
Let's go to Tim, who's calling in from Barnard. Hi, Tim. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
So my comment is about, I am a supporter of Trump, and I think on the other side of the spectrum, it's the same reason for Bernie supporters. And it's, we are, everyone is at a crossroads, and they are sick and tired of the establishment. But what I want to say about Trump and in support of him, I think the media misleads all the time his statements. He certainly maybe doesn't articulate his comments as well, but I would believe all of us can relate to that at times in saying things. If you pick apart our comments or take a little blurb of what it was, it takes it out of text and you could find controversial issues with everything. But what I want to directly say and to prove my point onto that or make my point, I guess, would be, for instance, in the last debate and the mentioning, you know, with all the criticism about how he attacks everyone, John McCain and his controversy, and when John McCain, he made fun of John McCain a little bit about being not a war hero. Let's just remember, John McCain also attacked him. When Trump brought out the exposure between him and Bernie Sanders being on the VA and or head of the VA, and they have treated them unfairly, and he denies that fact, both Bernie and him think they've treated him great. And that's not right, and that's not accurate. What Trump did after it and calling him that a little bit, he started to get out of control. But let's remember who attacks who first. And I really believe a business person can get this country back. It can only be for 4 years if that's what people want. But the economy is the most important role.
Thanks for your opinion, Tim. I hear you loud and clear. We have a Trump supporter there. Tim says he's getting a little bit of a bad shake. You know, Bert Johnson, we just have a little bit of time left with you. And I'm wondering, you know, we've heard from a lot of different kinds of Vermonters today who have a lot of different opinions and a lot of different reasons for voting. Vermont has an open primary system. You can go to the polls on Tuesday and choose one ballot or another. You don't have to be registered with a party. Do you think there will be any significant number of either crossover voters who normally vote Democrat but are supporting a Republican this time, or any shenanigans where you have Democrats who are trying to somehow stir up the vote on the Republican side?
Well, I think there may be substantial crossover voting just because the Democratic side is so solidly decided, at least based on this poll I saw this morning, with Sanders having 86% of the vote. I don't know that that will make much of a difference. In 2012, actually, in the Republican primary, half of the people surveyed in exit polls said that they didn't identify themselves as Republicans. So they were either independent or Democrats. Now, that race was a little bit different because we had an incumbent president running. So I expect that number would be somewhat smaller. But in order for shenanigans to occur, there would have to be some kind of coordination, I would think. And I haven't seen any evidence of that occurring.
Bert Johnson is a professor and the chair of the political science department at Middlebury College. Bert, thanks so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Now, before Vermont Republicans and Democrats vote, Nevadans get a crack at the candidates. VPR's Patty Daniels is in Nevada, and coming up, she will give us the lowdown on what she's been hearing from voters on the Democratic side. That's next on Vermont Edition. Welcome back to Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. We've been hearing a lot about the upcoming South Carolina primary and national presidential coverage, but there's actually a nominating contest this Saturday. Nevada Democrats will go to their neighborhood caucus precincts and declare their preferences for Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. VPR's Patty Daniels is in Las Vegas for a brief look around at the caucus pregame show, and she joins us now. Hi, Patty.
Hey, Jane, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for being here. So compared to the fine-tooth combing over that Iowa and New Hampshire got from both candidates and the media, Nevada really seems like a big open question and kind of a mystery in some ways. So what's the sense of who Saturday's caucus will favor?
Yeah, there is no sense. And mystery is, I think, the word the Wall Street Journal used as well. So it's not just me. There is essentially no polling. And the one poll that offers some nominal guidance on where Clinton and Sanders stand here basically gives them an equal chance at winning. Voter turnout is a huge question mark. It was extremely high in 2008, driven by Barack Obama's candidacy. There was essentially no Democratic caucus, of course, in 2012. So now we're, you know, 8 years later after their first experience caucusing, having another go at it. And the entire political season is so unusual that, the traditional predictors just aren't holding. So it really is a pretty big open question mark what will happen here.
Okay, well then let's rely on what we do know and some things that might influence the race. What role do endorsements have in the Sanders-Clinton matchup?
There are two prominent players who have chosen not to endorse, and that is kind of the endorsement story here. We'll start with Senator Harry Reid, the former majority leader, longtime powerful Democrat here in Nevada. And he is actually the reason that Nevada even has an early presidential contest in the calendar. Reid has chosen not to endorse either candidate. He spoke last night at a Latino voter event. Here he is.
I've been very certain that I want to make sure there's no complaints about the caucus being fair. I don't want anyone saying that Reid bigfooted the caucus. So I want the caucus to go forward. I want everyone to come out.
Reid also said that he wouldn't comment on which candidate has momentum or which what he thinks voter turnout will be. He did say, however, his guesses are always accurate. He just wouldn't share them with us.
Oh, great. Well, that's an easy one to win then.
Helpful.
Yeah. Okay. So that's one of the big players in terms of endorsements. What about unions, the other big player?
Also huge in Nevada politics. And while there are a lot of unions who have sort of divvied up sides between Clinton and Sanders, there is one union that really stands supreme in political influence here, and that is the Culinary Local Union 226. This year, they have chosen not to pick a candidate. And here's political scientist David Damore at UNLV describing why this particular union really matters.
Year in and year out, they're the most prominent union in terms of not just, you know, national politics getting involved in presidential elections, but state elections, local elections. They have a heavy presence up in Carson City for lobbying. And, you know, they're very they turn their voters out. I mean, you'll be amazed when they do a picketing. They can shut down Las Vegas Boulevard. It's really quite stunning to see.
And so it might be logical to think, you know, well, sure, hospitality industry is important in Vegas, but this is a statewide campaign, right? And the thing to remember is that while Nevada is an enormous state geographically, two-thirds of the population are in Las Vegas. So when you think about the vast tracts of sparsely populated land, and then you think about this massive population center in Vegas and a huge part of that population being involved some way with the hospitality industry, that union becomes pretty important.
So between Harry Reid and the Culinary Union Local 226, we still got a toss-up now here between Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders. And Patty, you know, as journalists, you and I follow tons of news about the horse race between these two candidates and about electoral politics in general. From what you're seeing, how big a deal is all of this in Nevada right now?
You know, let me premise this by saying I'm here on a very short visit, so I've got kind of a superficial view, but there is very little evidence that an election is happening this weekend. TV ads being the one exclusion to that. But if you didn't know there was an election, you would not know that there is an election. driving around the suburbs, you know, hanging out where kind of like the real people live, you know, you don't see lawn signs, you don't see people talking about politics, you don't see bumper stickers. But to your point about, you know, is the narrative holding here the way it has in other places, there is kind of this idea of people pushing against the establishment among Sanders supporters. And I did talk with a woman named Angel Leung, and she's from California. She actually took time off of work to volunteer in Iowa and Nevada for Sanders. And she told me a little bit about why.
I don't say that I'm a Democrat first and foremost. I characterize myself as a progressive. And so in that respect, Bernie and I are lockstep in many ways. I don't have party loyalty in that way to the Democrats. I've supported them throughout the years, but now it's kind of like Bernie's a Democrat. I don't care if Bernie's a Democrat or an independent. I would have supported him.
And so that might strike fear in the hearts of the establishment Democratic Party that one of their leading candidates here is wasn't a Democrat until last year, and his supporters don't really care one way or another whether he is a Democrat. But that is part of the narrative that is definitely playing out in Nevada.
Well, so Patty, what are you hearing from Hillary Clinton supporters?
Again, this is definitely a toss-up, and she has strong support here. It's by no means, you could never say that, Bernie is going to walk away with this the way that he did in New Hampshire. Clinton supporters are saying that they believe in her long record on women and children. They have faith in her expertise in foreign policy. I spoke with the Clinton organizer, Ian Livesday, who is also in Las Vegas. He described himself to me as a Filipino immigrant. Foreign policy is huge in his list of priorities. He is also a member of the LGBT community. And he defended Clinton's evolving stance over time on gay marriage by telling me this story.
For me, it's also like, I liken it to my mother, who is very conservative. My father's very conservative. Didn't particularly like it that I came out. You know, I was lucky that they didn't kick me out of the house. But over the years, they really grew to accept me. My mother loves me. And if I didn't accept that change, then I couldn't accept my mother's love. And my mom acts on it, and I feel it. And I feel the same thing with Hillary Clinton.
And so, you know, I asked him just to make sure I understood what he was telling me, that he's really drawing a parallel there, that he can see people evolving over time in their positions and changing their views. And that isn't a problem for him. He's looking for a different signal from the candidate that makes her the one that he's choosing.
Well, it's all interesting to hear about. Again, this Saturday, Nevada Democrats will voice their preferences on how the state's 43 delegates should vote at the Democratic National Convention this summer. I should mention, Nevada Republicans don't caucus at the same time. They caucus next Tuesday night. VPR's Patty Daniels has been sharing her impressions on the ground in Las Vegas. Patty, thank you so much.
It was my pleasure. Thanks.
And finally today, we'll read a few of the comments you've sent about recent programs. Joining me is Vermont Edition producer Rick Sangari. Hi, Rick.
Welcome back, Jane.
Thank you.
Our conversation with 7 Days reporter Alicia Fries about a trial project to adjust lanes and add separate bike lanes on a section on North Avenue in Burlington continues to generate comments. Elise in Burlington wrote, Ms. Fries failed to mention that bikers already have easy access to the bike path, which runs along Lake Champlain on a converted rail bed and can also legally ride bicycles on sidewalks on this 0.8-mile area. The safety of bikers, the hefty price tag attached to this pilot, and the fact that there has been no objective methodology stated by city officials to measure the pilot's successes or failures are key points that deserved equal airtime.
We also got a lot of feedback on yesterday's show on yoga in Vermont. Lynn in South Burlington says, I just wanted to comment that my 89-and-a-half-year-old father does yoga every morning in addition to walking daily. He's a retired physician, and he credits yoga as the reason he, unlike most of his peers, has not lost any height due to aging. He's still 6'4 and plays tennis and bicycles regularly. Just goes to show, if you use it, you're less likely to lose it.
And Marcy, also from South Burlington, shared this. Last summer, after practicing different types of yoga, including meditation, for approximately 30 years, I decided to stop the physical practices because I wasn't sure they were making a difference. Did I ever learn a valuable lesson? 5 months later, shoulder and hip injuries that weren't healing despite physical therapy led me to a DVD that included yoga. After 3 weeks, my shoulder is practically back to normal, and I was recently able to enjoy a winter hike with the Green Mountain Club. Although I've occasionally injured myself in classes over the years, adding a safe home practice back into my life is making a huge difference in middle age.
And Gail commented, the asanas and poses are just one phase or step in what yoga is. The purpose of practicing the poses is to make the body strong and flexible for sitting. Yes, sitting for meditation. But for most of us, they're also an expression of qualities that we seek in our life. Typically, we talk about strength, compassion, freedom, endurance, joy, lightness, etc. As I got deeper into my poses, I could feel these qualities and know that I had them buried deep inside. I just needed to go there.
And after we discussed the governor's proposal for all-payer health care last week, Sue wrote in to say, "The last several years I have paid for health care that I can't afford to access. In reality, with a $5,000 deductible and a 60-40 coverage, prevention is out of reach. I'm also delaying medical appointments for things that are worsening for lack of affordability. An example, I just finished paying off last year's test fees. Medicare is coming soon, but I'm worried about the coverage costs for that by the time I pay supplemental. I don't remember the last time I could just see a good doctor. What a luxury it would be simply to see a doctor."
Well, thank you for that, Sue. We always love hearing from all of our listeners about the show, so keep your comments coming to VermontEdition@vpr.net or post them on our Facebook page. Rick, thanks.
Thanks, Jane.
And that does it for today's show. The Canadian dollar has plummeted to around 70 cents on the American dollar. That's great for Americans heading north, but what about Canadians and those coming here? Tomorrow, we'll look at the causes behind the foundering loonie and how it's affecting the Canadian and Vermont economies. Send your questions or comments about the Canadian exchange rate to VermontEdition@vpr.net and listen tomorrow at noon. Our producers are Rick Singeri and Sam Gale Rosen. Liam Connors directed the show, and our executive producer is Patty Daniels. Our theme music was composed by Grace Potter and the Nocturnals. I'm Jane Lindholm. Thanks for listening.